Amen. Well, Merry Christmas.
Man, it's such a gift to see all of y'all out here tonight. Thank you for making our little service a part of your Christmas Eve celebration. For those of you who are new or guests with us, my name is Alex. I am one of the pastors here, and we're delighted that you're a part of things here at Chatham Community Church for a special Christmas Eve service. Kids, the waiting's almost over. It's been so long. How many of you feel like December's like the longest month ever? How many of you kids feel like it's been forever? You've been waiting for forever? One more sleep and one more wake up and it will all be yours. The treasure is waiting for you. Although first service was a family gonna stay up till 12:01. That's overachieving right there. That's what that is. I hated waiting when I was a kid for Christmas, and I kind of don't like waiting in general. It's just like not one of my superpowers. Even as an adult, I don't love waiting. In fact, the other day I was going to Harris Teeter, and I had my grocery cart full of stuff, and I go to the checkout line, and all the lines are full, right? All people. And so what I'm doing is I'm stalking everyone in line, evaluating their cart. How full is their cart? How long is it going to take you to get through the checkouts? And no matter which line I pick, I have the spiritual gift of picking the slowest possible line every time. It's like one of my gifts. It really is. Maybe some of you have that too. Now, so much has happened, right, over the years, technology to kind of make it easier, to make our lives go faster and wait a little less. And I'm all for it. But here's the reality. Waiting at some of the most crucial moments in your life is just part of the human experience, isn't it? It's having to wait. No matter how much you hate to do it, no matter how much of a kind of get up and go person you are, waiting is always a part of your life. I've had high school seniors in my house each of the last 3 years. They could not wait to graduate and move on, but they had to wait to graduate, to move on. Any of you remember your first job, like your first job, real job, like you had to go in for an interview and all that stuff, and you're waiting to get the interview and you're hoping to get the interview, then you have to wait to hear back if you got the job. That was a long, exhausting process. Any of you feel like you waited a long time to find the right person to marry and spend your life with? Anyone wait a long time to have that first kid that you so wanted to have? Anyone have an experience where you or someone you love had to wait for a medical test to come back and you just were so on edge? Waiting is so much a part of our lives at the most crucial times in our lives. And some of you, my friends, are waiting for things tonight, aren't you? You come in here tonight, bringing some things that you're waiting for, hoping for. Maybe it's a broken relationship that you're hoping can get repaired, or maybe it's a new outcome or a new start to 2025. Maybe you can't wait to get this past year behind you. Maybe you're just hoping, waiting, longing for something that will sort of change the fortunes for you and for people that you love. This is something of the mood in the passage we read a few minutes ago, a man named Simeon. And the scriptures describe him this way. It says that Simeon was a righteous and devout man. Like he was just a good guy, a good man. And the scriptures say this, that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation of Israel. Israel had been a conquered people for a couple hundred years at this point. And he was waiting and hoping for an end to Israel's suffering, his nation that he loved. So much suffering, so much longing. So he's waiting and waiting and waiting for this thing to end for him and his people. And then there was a common understanding among the faithful Jews of the first century that a Messiah would come to deliver them from their oppressors. And so Simeon got this special word from God. It says it was been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So bless Simeon's heart. Bless his heart. I'm not good at waiting for one thing. He has to wait for two things. He's waiting for two things. He's waiting for consolation of Israel, and he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, this is really important, and that is this. He has no control over either one of these, does he? Nothing he can do to manufacture the outcomes, to make the thing happen that he wants to see happen. He has no ability to sort of generate or move the ball on any of these things, just like some of us are in situations where there's nothing we can do but wait and wait and wait. And into Simeon's waiting, and into your waiting, and my waiting, come Christmas. And as we just sang a few minutes ago, where all the hopes and all the fears of all the years get met here at Christmas time. The God who has come to get us, Emmanuel. And when Simeon meets this baby, his whole spirit moves from waiting and longing to rejoicing. Here's what it says. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. So here's a strange turn, right? Because Simeon's still waiting for the consolation of Israel. Rome still rules Israel. It's still a hard time to be in Israel. He still longs. He's still waiting. He still wants to see something different happen. But here's the crazy thing. He says, I'm at peace. How do you know peace when you're still waiting for the thing that you're longing for? How do you know peace when you're still in that space where the thing hasn't happened that you want to see happen, that you want to see happen so, so bad you can't imagine why it's not coming around, or just you're just agonizing over it? How do you possibly know peace without the outcome that you've been looking for? Here's what Simeon says. Well, here's why. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles. That's everyone who wasn't Jewish, all the non-Jewish lands and nations, and the glory of your people, Israel. Salvation, all the nations, God's light has come. See, here's what happens to so many of us, me and maybe you, that whenever I'm waiting for something that I really, really, really want, that dominates my landscape. I'm thinking about it all the time. That becomes the central thing in my life. And then Christmas comes along, and Christmas is a nice distraction. But this is the thing that matters. This is the thing I want. This is the most important thing. And what Simeon does is he completely reverses that. He's waiting and waiting and waiting for something that really matters to him and to all his people. And what Simeon does when Christmas comes along is he takes Christmas and says, actually, this is the most important thing, and I'm going to put the thing I'm waiting for, the good thing that I really want, I'm going to make that secondary. I'm going to wrap my waiting around Christmas, not wrap Christmas around my waiting. I'm going to put Christmas front and center in my life. And I'm going to let the thing I'm longing for, the good thing that I'm sort of brokenhearted about, I'm going to let Christmas recenter everything. And that, my friends, is what releases peace while you're waiting. Because God's salvation has come. His name is Jesus. Now, what we're saved from, the salvation, the nature of that, kind of gets unfolded throughout the whole rest of the New Testament. And one of the primary ways it gets described as, well, we're saved from sin. We're saved from our sin. And sin is it was an archery term. It literally means to miss the mark. So we've missed the mark on who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to be oriented and ordered around God. We don't really love God as much as we are called to. We don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves. We don't even love ourselves all that well, do we? Some of us are stubborn and proud, and you're so stubborn and proud, you will do things that hurt yourself and hurt people that you love. Some of us are more anxious and fearful, and we go looking for comfort and relief in practices that actually undermine our own health, undermine our own bodies, undermine our relationships with people around us, and do damage to the people around us. Some of us are controlling when you need to be blessing and releasing, not trying to control other people. Some of us are passive when God says, hey, I made you to take action, to go meet a need or serve someone or love someone. Almost all of us have opted to not tell the truth when it's kind of inconvenient to tell the truth, and we prefer to tell lies, just cover things up. Sin results in these cycles that get released into our lives. Some of those cycles are like addictions. Some of you are stuck in addictions right now, addictive patterns. Some of those patterns and cycles end up being not like addictions. They're like a habit of just making fun of or judging other people to prop you up and feel good about you. Some of us get in vicious cycles in our own head. You have this internal dialogue, this really, really difficult internal dialogue where you beat yourself up all the time. All the shame, all this guilt, you're rehearsing and rehearsing all the things you've done wrong and how bad you are. And some of you, you are so dug in with how bad you are that you think Christmas can't come from you, for you. Like, it's just too hard. You're too far gone. Like, you've made too many mistakes. You hear too many voices of negativity and self-hatred. And I've got really, really, really good news for you here on Christmas Eve 2024. You are so very special. You're not that special. You're so special. You're not that special. There's nothing that you've invented that God is like, oh, never seen that before. Nothing you've done. So foolish, so dumb, so destructive that God hasn't seen worse and forgiven worse in millions of people before you. So for those of you who are stuck in vicious cycles inside your head of shame and guilt and self-condemnation, Merry Christmas. Salvation comes even for you. He comes to deliver you from all your sin, all your shame, all your guilt. And yeah, you might need to forget, like ask for forgiveness and repair. There might be a lot of work to do on the other side of it, but know this, salvation comes for all of us. Salvation comes. We need salvation for each one of us inside of us. And there's brokenness all around us, right? It's not just internal to us. There's problems all around us. There's brokenness all around us. Some of you have had horrible 2024s, just heartbreaking. Jesus says to you, salvation comes and says, I know your heart's broken. I've seen each tear. I know each sad thought. And here's what Jesus invites us to do. Let Jesus into your sorrow, into your grief. And you know what Jesus can do? He can take anything and bring something good out of it, which doesn't mean that wasn't bad, doesn't mean it wasn't hard, but he loves to write redemption stories to bring healing and renewal and something beautiful and good, even out of the darkest seasons. Some of you, the holidays are really, really hard. As we talk about sort of the world being a mess around us. Man, the world is a mess. And some of you, the holidays are hard because your family is a hot mess. Bless their hearts. And if you say bless their hearts in the South, you can say anything you want to before or after it about anybody. Just bless their hearts. You can say whatever you want to, either way, right? So bless their hearts. Your family's a hot mess. And for some of you, the holidays are so, so hard because it just reminds you of how much of a hot mess your family is. I've got really, really good news. God says to a world full of dysfunctional families, I didn't make you for a dysfunctional family. I want to be your good father. If you didn't have a good father, you've got one in the Lord. And so Jesus says, Jesus has come as the Son of God to bring sons and daughters into God's family and sing out over you. You are beloved. You are beloved. No matter what your parents did or didn't do for you, how much they did or didn't love you, you have a good father in heaven who calls you to be a part of his family. We need salvation for things in us. We need some help with the mess all around us. And maybe, just maybe, we need someone who can help us and maybe one day make all things new. Here's the thing. Simeon is waiting for the consolation of Israel. He never sees it. It never comes. He wants a good thing. He never experiences it. But while he's waiting for this thing that he never sees, he is at peace with God because he has received the salvation that God has provided for him in Jesus. Listen, my friends, I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what kind of things you're waiting for. I don't know what kind of hopes and fears you brought into the door with you tonight. I don't know what kind of December you've had or 2024 you've had or the last decade or the last multiple decades of whatever you're bringing in. But here's what I do know. If you are willing to open up your heart to the salvation that God has provided for you in Jesus Christ, it will release the same peace in your heart that Simeon had in his when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you, you've never experienced this before. You've never opened up your life or your heart to God or to Jesus. Or maybe you did once. It was a long time ago when you were a kid and you got busy and who needs church anyway? And you got a career and kids and soccer and macrame and all the things you got the kids to and all the stuff. And then suddenly you look up and several decades later and you haven't talked to God or thought about God. It's been kind of all in the background, but maybe today, maybe tonight, you're willing to open up your heart and bring all your hopes and all your fears, all your waiting. And maybe instead of kind of Christmas being a check the box and move on and go back to life as it was, maybe tonight you're finally ready to let Christmas take center stage, front and center, to wrap all your hopes, all your fears, all your baggage, all your dreams, all your gifts and skills and all your pain and all your guilt and all your shame. Are you willing to wrap all that around Christmas and let it release that salvation, that peace in your heart? Others of you, you've done this. You've been walking with the Lord. You're a Jesus person. You're a Christian, but man, you've got your own kind of stuff you're waiting for and longing for, and you need to do some business with God tonight, man. In the midst of the waiting, in the midst of the heartbreak, in the midst of kind of the longing for things, there's just some unanswered questions that you're carrying into tonight. So here's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to give you a few minutes here, a little gift of a few minutes just with you and God. It's such a busy time and a busy season. And the invitation tonight is to sort of land into this good news that the salvation God has provided in Jesus has the power to release peace in the middle of our waiting, regardless of current circumstances or uncertain future outcomes. Even if you don't know what might happen next, even if you're not getting where you're hoping to get, even if you're kind of sort of on edge, hoping, and maybe you're even frustrated, or maybe even quit hoping and quit waiting because it's been so broken for so long, that relationship, that family member, so far gone, maybe you've just given up on the whole thing. Tonight, the invitation is not to be resigned, but to be at peace. Two different things. Not to be resigned, not to quit, but to actually be at peace. And maybe ask God, hey, might you do a miracle in my waiting to see things that are broken made new? That's what the Lord loves to do. Tonight, when you came in, there was a note card on your seat. I'm going to invite you to get that out right now. If you're at home, I invite you to get a pen and a piece of paper to somewhere. It's just a little tool to help you do a little bit of business with God tonight, okay? So tonight, Christmas Eve 2024, we're going to give you the gift of a couple minutes to do a little bit of business with the Lord. And on that card is a couple different prompts. The first prompt is simply this. I am waiting for blank. I receive the peace of God as I wait. For those of you who have made the decision to trust Christ and follow Christ, we're just giving you the chance to fill in that blank. What is it that you're waiting for? And just offering yourself and opening yourself up to the goodness of God who loves to write redemption stories and loves to meet us and release peace in our hearts and our lives. The second prompt is this. For those of you who have not yet made that decision to sort of give yourself over to the Lord so that salvation might be released in your life, that you might know God's peace tonight, if you're ready to receive that salvation that God has provided for you in Jesus. So I want to invite you to check that box. And then we're going to, as we move into a time of special music, this whole space is just for you to pray, to do a little bit of business with God, to consider what you might put on that card. What is God inviting you into tonight, Christmas Eve 2024? My friends, hear the good news. God has done everything he can possibly do to release joy and peace into your life. God's done everything he can do to pour joy and peace into your life. The only thing that God has decided not to do is to push over your resistance. The only thing standing between you and peace is your willingness to release your resistance. Why would you do that? Why would you resist the gift of eternal peace in this life and into the next? That's the invitation tonight between you, this card, and the Lord. I want to pray for this time as Caitlin comes back and does a special music piece. Let me just pray for our time of reflection here as we move into this time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming to get us. Thank you for being kind and generous and patient with us. Thank you that you are so willing to pour peace into our hearts. We ask now as we sort of spend a few minutes with you and these cards that your spirit would just speak to us. Is there anything that we are waiting for that you want to free us from? Is there anything that you want to hold on to? Is there anything that you need to correct or comfort us in? Is there any space where you're inviting us to hand things over to you, including maybe ourselves for the very first time? Lord Jesus, would you open up our hearts and our minds and our spirits that we might bring to you the hopes and fears of all the years, that we might bring to you our very selves, that your salvation might be released in us to give us your peace. We pray now that you would pour out your spirit in the space as people reflect and consider what's on offer from you. In Jesus' name, amen.